Ja, dann lass uns weitermachen
So
mit
let's
der
continue
Gemeinde in Thyatira.
With the church in Thyatira.
Das Sendschreiben an Thyatira unterscheidet
The
sich
epistle to Thyatira distinguishes itself from the other epistles.
Und Moment, ganz kurz. Ich muss ändern. So. Und zwar ist es so, weil das hier.
Why? Because here, starting from the church in Thyatira, he starts speaking about his coming. Starting from Thyatira and then all the following epistles, he talks about his coming. That means, and that shows us, that what we see in Thyatira and the condition of Christianity that is shown in Thyatira will continue to exist until the second coming of the Lord. And that's why today, for us, it's important to know what the Lord wants to tell us through the church in Thyatira. What the Lord really wants to show us. And additionally, the verse that we read at the end, it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." It's the last verse. And this shows us how important it is that the Spirit speaks to us today. This morning, we heard about the church in Pergamos, that the fall of the church, unfortunately, continued. The Lord called them to repentance, like in the church in Ephesus. But because there was no repentance, the church continued to fall and decline. And in Pergamos, it shows the marriage to the world. That means the church is now married with the world. And she is no longer the virgin, the bride of Christ, but she has become the great harlot, Babylon. She really reached the worst point, the deepest point of her fall. Because now we see here that this Jezebel, a woman, is the one who has who dictates what happens. And Jezebel appears in the Old Covenant as well, and there she's described as the wife of the king Ahab. Ahab married her, and she's the daughter of King Esbal. So she was of the Gentiles, of the nations. And Ahab married her and mixed himself with the world. And Jezebel really brought God's people to fall in a deep way. She began to persecute the prophets of God. She didn't want the people of God to hear God's voice. If there are no more prophets, then no one would be able to hear the word of the Lord and the voice of the Lord. So Jezebel started to set up her own prophets, or prophets that served Baal, because her goal was to have the people of God no longer serve him, but to become a people that would serve Baal. And this is a very negative development of the people of God. And if we look at the history of the church, Thyatira represents the period of Roman Catholicism. There we see the same principle that existed at that time with Jezebel. Because the Catholic Church began to hinder the speaking of the Lord and the Word of God. For example, it was prohibited to read the Bible. And the Catholic Church persecuted the saints and even killed the saints. And it wasn't so easy to just listen or be able to hear the Word of God. Why did the enemy do this? This morning we heard that in Pergamos, the Lord came with a sharp two-edged sword, and Satan understood that he had no chance against this sharp two-edged sword. So he began a new strategy, applied a new strategy. He said, this sword has to go away. He understood that if he would bring away the saints from the Word of God, from the speaking of the Lord, then he can mislead them in a very simple and easy way. And indeed, it is like this today. If we look around us today, we see how easy it is to mislead and lead the saints astray, and how easily saints let themselves be led astray by things on YouTube or things that man say. Why? Because the saints are not used to hearing the voice of the Lord. The saints are not used to reading the Word of God. They would rather watch preachers on YouTube for hours instead of spending 20 minutes in the Word of God to ask for the speaking of the Lord. And what happens if you don't hear the Word of God? Then you hear a lot of other voices. Then you don't know anymore what's right and what's wrong. Then there are many opinions. Then there are thousands of opinions. And then it will really be this confusion that was at the Tower of Babel. Everyone has their own opinion and everyone wants to say what the truth is.
In YouTube, einfach nur das Buch Offenbarung eingibt.
If you type in the word Revelation in YouTube, then you find thousands of sermons, thousands of different interpretations, and try to find out what's right. What's man's teaching? And what's the truth? And this shows us how important it is that we in Zion would be such who read the Word of God with joy, who hear the voice of the Lord. This is the best protection for the saints. In the first meeting, we already heard how important the speaking of the Lord to us is. And that's why the Lord says, as he spoke to the church in Thyatira, he says, this says the Son of God. On the one hand, you have Jezebel, but on the other hand, the Lord comes and says, this is what I say. And I want to encourage each one of us tonight to only accept what the Son of God says and to test what you hear in the place that you are, wherever you go, who's in charge, who speaks, who dictates everything there, who determines everything there. We can't take this lightly. It's so important that the Son of God is the one who speaks. If Jezebel is the one who speaks, then you are in Babylon. If it's not the Son of God who speaks, then you are in Babylon. And that's why we have to say, Lord, show me who is speaking here. Show me who is determining everything in the place I'm at. Is it the elders, the pastors, or maybe it's even the wife of the elder and you don't even notice? Or maybe it's the youth leader that dictates everything and is in charge. In the church, it is the Son of God who speaks and determines everything. If this is not the case, then it's you're very close to reaching the condition in Thyatira. It goes very quickly. We have this diagram where we show the fall of the church. And here is Ephesus. Then it goes down. And then Pergamos comes. And then all the way at the bottom, there's Thyatira. And this happened really quickly. Why? Because the speaking of the Lord was gone. That's why it is so essential for us to test and examine to see, is it the Lord who is speaking? Let's look at Jezebel again. Jezebel means astonishingly virgin. The Lord says that she commits adultery and even teaches his servants to commit adultery. But then, and it also says that she is the great harlot, but her name means virgin. It's astonishing. Or if we take the word Thyatira, it actually means perpetual sacrifice. Is a sacrifice not good? Actually, yes. But if it's a sacrifice to an idol, then it's no longer good. Thyatira was also known for its trade of purple. Yeah, it mentions Lydia, who was a merchant for purple. And if we read Revelation 17, Revelation 17, starting from verse 1,
die große Hure Babylon gezeigt.
John is shown the great harlot here.
Da heißt es ab Vers 1, es kam einer von den sieben Engeln, welche die sieben Schalen hatten, redete mit mir.
It says, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying, to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. He marveled. And I was also marveling. Because Jezebel means virgin and Thyatira means perpetual sacrifice. But this shows the principle of Babylon. Babylon wants to deceive you. It looks real, but it's all false. It's an imitation. This deception is the principle of religion, because inwardly it's full of abominations, and outwardly everything looks good. I don't know if any of you were in the Orthodox Church. If you come in, everything looks pretty nice. The windows are adorned. They're nice pictures that pictures also describing the scenes from the Gospels. And at the front, you see an altar. It's adorned with gold. There's a New Testament there, and it's pretty big, has golden pages. And everything looks very, very nice. And when you go there in Easter time, then everything is adorned very, very, in a very special way. The Orthodox priest has a very nice garment and has a lot of gold on it. Similar to what we just read. But actually, it's full of idol worship. It's full of glorifying Mary. It's worshiping of the dead, of so-called saints. It's really shocking, because outwardly it looks very nice, but inwardly it is full of dead bones. And this has to show us something. This shows us a principle. The principle is that Babylon also deceives the saints. And we have to see where we are. Is that where the enemy is deceiving me, tricking me? Is it an outward religion? Is it something that's hidden and I don't recognize it? For example, maybe it's emphasized there, you have to keep the Sabbath. But the question is this the teaching of the Lord? Did the Lord say this? Or is this leaven? How can we recognize this? How can we recognize what is from Jezebel, what's fake, what's a counterfeit, and what is from the living God? You need eyes that are like a flame of fire. And before the Lord's eyes, nothing is hidden. The Lord sees through everything. If he looks at things with his eyes, he sees the things that are hidden, deeply hidden. As I was serving in the Orthodox Church, it was very difficult for me to discern that where I was not from the Lord. I was born again, but I grew up there. And sometimes saints would tell me, come out of Babylon. But I couldn't do it, because I always saw something good there. I didn't see the fallen condition. And then we had a campus meeting or a Bible study. And during this time, a brother read a verse from 1 Corinthians 6:15 to 18. Amen. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Sorry. I mean 2 Corinthians, but these verses are also good. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6:15-18. And what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty.
Amen. Als der Bruder diesen Vers vorgelesen hat,
as the brother read this verse, then it really struck me in my heart. And then it was like scales falling from my eyes. And I saw, I have to get out. I saw that this system has nothing to do with Christ. What accord has Christ with Belial? This is the decisive question. I cannot connect something with Christ that's not right. What does Christ have to do with Christmas? What does Christ have to do with bunnies? Unfortunately, so many Christians don't see this, but Paul asked this question, what accord does Christ have with this? You can't just put something together with Christ just because you think it's right. And these verses the Lord used to open my eyes. And starting from that point, I couldn't go back. I went a few times because I didn't want to hurt my family. But this urging of the Lord in me was so much stronger and said, you have to get out. I couldn't go there anymore. I just couldn't. So I know it's not easy to discern if where I am and where I have grown up is Zion or Babylon. It requires the Lord's opening of our eyes. Satan has perfected this deception. For example, murals are very expensive, especially if the painter is already dead. You pay millions of dollars and horrendous amounts of money to buy it. But you can also, but you can also download it online and then get a really good printer and print it out, and then you can also hang it up, but you can't sell it for millions of dollars. It looks exactly like the real painting, but it's not the original. So sometimes counterfeit paintings are those who make counterfeit paintings, you need really a disciplined eye or trained eye to see the difference between the original and the counterfeit. And so it's the same today. It's not that easy with human eyes to recognize what is Babylon and what is not. And that's why the Lord says that he has eyes like a flame of fire. Why? Because the Lord alone is the one who can see through everything. Nothing is hidden before his eyes.
Für uns soll es heute sein, dass wir sagen, Herr,
and for us today, we should tell the Lord, look at the church where I am with your eyes. Test everything with your eyes. I don't have these eyes that can see through everything, but you have eyes that see through everything. Amen. We can ask the Lord, show me how you see it. Show me the condition as you see it. Yeah, tell me what you say. It's good for us to pray. Lord, show us in Zion what doesn't please you. Yeah. It's only the Lord who knows. He alone knows what needs to be treated, what needs to be dealt with, and what needs to be healed. And this applies to us personally as well. For example, Psalm 139, the last two verses. Psalm 139, the last two verses, 23 and 24. There David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. David knew that the only one who would be able to search out everything is the Lord himself. And if we let the Lord look at us in such a way, then he can show us where we still have idol worship in us. He even says that covetousness is idolatry. The Lord can expose the covetousness in us. So I really treasure his eyes that are like a flame of fire. This is a very healthy medicine to let the Lord look at us with such eyes. And to also tell the Lord, yeah, look at the church where I am. Look at the meetings where I am. My judgment doesn't count. It's your judgment that counts. It doesn't matter if we say, oh, but the pastor speaks so well. Maybe he speaks exactly what you want to hear. But does he speak what the Lord wants to speak? And we have to ask ourselves this. Let's pray to the Lord that he would open the eyes of our captivity in Babylon. It is really a burden in my heart that the Lord would be gracious to them and show them what Babylon is. Years ago, we had a presentation in Bietigheim, and it was concerning Babylon. And then we had the burden to speak a very clear word that the saints who were listening to the presentation would come out. Some of the brothers at that time, that when they heard this, they didn't want to have anything to do with us anymore. It was too hard for them, too harsh. But a few years later, they left their groups. They realized it wasn't going on anymore. And then they asked me, what should we do? So they did leave Babylon.
Und deshalb müssen wir beten, dass der Herr die Augen öffnet.
So we really have to pray that the Lord would open the eyes of the saints and that they wouldn't just leave Babylon, but come to Zion. Otherwise, they'll end up in Babylon again. That would be a true pity. So we really need to have this burden for the saints.
Denn bei dem Herrn ist wirklich wichtig, es zählen keine Äußerlichkeiten.
Because for the Lord, outward things don't count. The Lord pays attention to whether it's real or not. What use is it if we say, for example, as it's said in some of the brethren, they say, the sisters should always wear skirts, but then at home they wear pants. So outwardly you have forced them to wear skirts, but inwardly something is still not right. These are principles that come from Babylon. That's why everything in Zion has to be real. Even the meetings on Sunday, the Lord's table, it has to be real. It has to be a feast of joy. It cannot become a tradition for us. Not to just a habit or a custom. Everything that becomes just a custom will end up becoming Babylon. And the Lord wants everything to be real in Zion. He tests everything. He said, I will test the hearts and I will give each one according to his works. And that's why these two points are very important. For firstly, his speaking and then also his eyes that are like a flame of fire. In his great love, which is hard for us to even grasp, in his great love, he even called Jezebel to repent. And he even gave her time to repent.
Mm-hmm.
Said, I gave her time to repent, but she would not. It's astonishing to see how patient the Lord is, to see how much he really loves the church. Despite this fallen condition, he said, I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality. But if she does not repent, then I will cast her into a sick bed. And when he has cast her into a sick bed, then we should not try to heal her. We won't make it. For example, in Jeremiah 51:9.
Vielleicht kann jemand sie vorlesen?
Wir können lesen.
Ja. Und Vers 9 dazu, bitte.
We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Sorry, verse 8 already. Babylon has suddenly fallen and been destroyed. Wail for her. Take balm for her pain. Perhaps she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her. And let us go everyone to his own country. For her judgment reaches to heaven and is lifted up to the skies. This principle is important for us today. If the Lord looks at the church where you are today and shows that he's not speaking there anymore and that it's Babylon, then don't try to heal it. You don't have more endurance than the Lord has. And you don't have more love than the Lord has.
Einmal, als ich vor Jahren bei Bosch angefangen habe,
years ago, when I began my job at Bosch, I had an interview with my boss and with HR. And we, you know, everyone introduces themselves. And the boss asked me at that time, because at that time I said, I'm someone who doesn't give up very quickly or very easily, and I always try to find a solution. And then he asked me, Mr. Constantine, do you also ride dead horses? And then I didn't really understand him. And then the HR colleague had to explain his question to me. And this principle applies to Babylon today. Don't try to ride a dead horse. You can try to say, yeah, so many times and whip the horse, but it won't move, not even 1 inch. The better option is that you would ride the white horse. This white horse will always conquer and be victorious. And that's what I had to learn at that time. Because I thought, but I have to try. I have to try to help them. There's this one and that one, and I have the burden for this one, and I have to help him. But the Lord showed me, you can only help them in that you come out yourself. Don't waste your time anymore. If you come out to Zion, then from Zion, you can receive the speaking of the Lord. You can have the burden of the Lord. You can go with the love of the Lord and say, free and release my brothers and sisters. This is what the Lord wants to do among us today. And you know why? Because your time is very short. The Lord always has time. He's the one who lives from eternity to eternity. He can deal with Babylon. But we should have a heart to come to Zion. Yeah, we should invest our time in building up Zion. And that's why we shouldn't... What does the Lord say? He said, there are some who say they know the depths of Satan. We shouldn't deal with or use our time to analyze what Babylon looks like and how low they have fallen or how deeply they have fallen. Let the Lord deal with that. But it's good to have a heart for those who are captive in Babylon, that the Lord would open their eyes.
Wir sollen rauskommen, sagt der Herr nämlich.
The Lord says we should come out. Why?
Das Einzige, was noch hilft, ist Gericht.
Because the only thing that helps is judgment. That's why he also has feet like fine brass. That means judgment is the only thing that can help. The measure is full and it is right for God's judgment. And that's why he says to his people, come out of her, my people, so that you will not partake of her sins.
Was ist besser?
What's better?
Durchzumachen?
Do you want to receive the morning star or do you want to receive of the plagues of Babylon? Of course, the morning star. That's why we should really reach out to come to Zion. Tonight, it's really a burden that the Lord would really put this on our hearts to see how dangerous Babylon is. And that's why we need a heart for our brothers and sisters in Babylon, that we would have this broad view and a wide heart for them. We should go to them. We should go to the ones that the Lord has put on our hearts with prayer that he would open their eyes. It is really important that we would have such a burden for the saints, because the plague that Babylon will receive and the judgment that it will receive is very severe. It's the severest judgment.
Einem Weg, das der Herr uns gegeben hat,
and the Lord has given us a way to be protected from this,
Stück für Stück dahin driften,
that we would not drift into this situation and condition. It is to keep the feast of unleavened bread. That's why this feast has to become more precious to us, that daily we are exercised to purge out the leaven and not to leave even a bit of leaven in our hearts, and not in the church, but to purge it out. And I want to encourage the saints to speak about Babylon and to expose it through the word of the Lord, so that the saints and the brothers and sisters there would be free and would see it. I think our brother John is here tonight. I think he said one time that he was invited somewhere to speak about, and then he spoke about Babylon, And then a brother told him, please don't speak so clearly about this, because then the saints will be offended. And then John said, had I known this, I would have taken out the sword. And this really reminded me that we have a heart for the saints. We want the Lord to set them free. And that's why we also want to be bold. And be bold to speak the word and divide it rightly, that it would really strike the hearts and pierce through their hearts.